GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. Headline on the news item that we received from the Maine Center for Economic Policy reads, 22 organizations, elected officials launch Prosperity Coalition to target LePage tax breaks for the wealthy. George in Augusta this morning, our friend Mario Moretto from the Maine Center for Economic Policy. He's right on line three if you want to say good morning to Mario.
Hey, Mario, how are you doing?
I'm well, George. How are you?
Good. It's a wonky Monday morning. We're looking at all kind of bills and stuff. I guess my first question to you would be, are we looking at LD 1647? Is that the one?
No, we're not looking at any particular bill today, George. We're talking about the budget process generally and how we're going to build prosperity for all Mainers in this next budget.
The reason I asked the question, 1647 is an act to provide tax fairness for Maine's middle class and working families. I wondered if that's where you were going.
No, I can't say I'm familiar with that bill by the title, but I can probably follow up with you.
Let's jump in and ask, who comprises the Prosperity Coalition, Mario?
Yeah, so the Prosperity Coalition is a broad and diverse group of Mainers from all over the state. We represent policy experts and students, immigrants and state employees, union members, small business owners, teachers, clergy members, grassroots activists, elected officials. Like we said, we have 22 organizations and elected officials from all over the state who are dedicated to unrigging our tax code and investing in the kinds of things that build real, true, shared prosperity, like education, local services, infrastructure, healthcare. So we're talking about Maine Center for Economic Policy is here, the largest state employees unions here, the Maine AFL-CIO, so on and so forth. There's a lot of great organizations here representing tens of thousands of Mainers who are all committed to this work.
So we're right back kind of where we were, what we've been talking about for a number of seasons here. Voters have endorsed raising taxes on the wealthiest Mainers, and we go into areas like education and other things. Basically, your group says the top 1% in Maine pays the lowest effective state and local tax rate of any group. Is that your mantra?
Yeah, that's true. And I think really the reality of it, George, is we have a rigged tax code in a lot of ways. So at the federal level and the state level, we've seen cut round after round of cuts that primarily benefited the wealthiest households. And at the same time, we've seen growing income and wealth inequality, making it harder and harder for the middle class and poor people to get by. And we're seeing a rising cost of living that hits those same people again. So all of these things add up to create a situation where the wealthy are getting better and better and better out of the deal, while everyone else is dealing with fewer and fewer resources to pay for the kinds of things that can create prosperity for everybody. So while we've seen tax cuts in Maine that primarily benefited the wealthy, we've also seen a chronic underfunding of our schools. That's something that can help people build a pathway to prosperity, even if they don't come from a wealthy family. So you've got this situation where tax cuts going to the top create less revenue for the state to invest in things like education and local services, and the harms just continue spiraling from there. So what we need to do in this next budget is we need to address the revenue challenges that were created over the past decade. We've got a tax code right now that created a situation where we can't afford to fully fund our schools. We can't afford to fully fund local services or invest in forward-looking things for our future, like infrastructure. So if we're going to do all those great things that so many of the people in Augusta ran campaigns promising they were going to do, we've got to address our rigged tax code, and we've got to fix it. And that starts at the top.
Mario Moretto's with us, who's the Maine Center for Economic Policy in Augusta this morning, a Prosperity Coalition seeking the repeal of the LePage-era tax breaks. Let me park along with George here on that statement about the 1% in Maine pays the lowest effective state and local tax rate of any group. Who are we talking about? Can you name me any names of someone that is in that 1%?
It's not really about putting any individual person, family, or business on blast here, Rick. What we're talking about is a system that prioritizes people who are already doing very, very well in our economy. You know, one of the fundamental basics of our tax code is that if our economy has made you wealthy, if you have prospered in our economy, if you've benefited from the things that we all pay for that create prosperity, your taxes should reflect that prosperity. The people at the top shouldn't be paying less than the people at the bottom.
Well, let me jump in right there, because until we know who we're talking about, then we can find out how much they are paying in solid dollars. We have a statistic right now, and I can't point to, is it the Alphon family? Is it the Stephen and Tabitha King? Because if you look at those two organizations, I'm just pulling them out of the air, as people who are being presented as being wealthy in our state and successful in our state, they're paying a whole lot. They're giving so much. How can we lump them in and call them the greedy 1% who are not paying their fair share?
Well, it's not about greed, Rick. It's about structures and systems that create inequality and perpetuate inequality. If you want to know who the top 1% is in Maine, that's any household with about $500,000 of income a year or more. So we're not talking about, you know, two doctors married to each other, right? We're not talking about a couple of firefighters or teachers. We're talking about the very, very top. These are people who are doing very, very well in our state. And it's not about them being bad people. It's not about attacking anybody. It's about all of us need to pitch in to come together to build the things that build shared prosperity for everyone. We've got schools in Maine, Rick, that have never been fully funded, despite voters going to the polls 3 times and saying, pay for the schools, do what we told you to do. And at the same time, we've got $864 million of tax cuts in the next budget, with about half that going to the wealthiest Mainers. So it's not about anybody being bad. It's about what are we going to do to get our state back on track so that all of us can prosper. You got about, I know I talked about this last week, but roughly half of Mainers can't afford a $400 expense. This economy is not working for everybody. And the tax code is part of that, because taxes are how we come together to pay for things that create prosperity for everybody. So, you know, we can get into this tit for tat back and forth about who are the individual people that need to pay more taxes, but it's not about individuals. It's about all of us.
Well, when we get into taxes, it gets very wonky, because I don't know that everybody understands it. I certainly don't spend that much time. What is your group actually asking? You say roll back. You're looking for some type of tax equalization assessment. Is that what you're looking for?
So what we're talking about is a holistic approach to the budget, George. I mean, what we've got is a system right now where, frankly, the wealthy pay too little and the poor pay too much. Unrigging our tax code is not just about looking at the top income taxes. It's about property taxes. It's about sales taxes. It's about the estate tax and corporate taxes. So what we're talking about doing is raising the revenue we need with comprehensive progressive tax reform. You know, one version of this is in the prosperity budget, which Maine Center for Economic Policy put out earlier this year. But there's lots of different ways we can get there. But what we need to do is rebalance the scales so that everybody is paying their fair share, and so that we have the money we need to invest in schools and communities. So it's income tax policy, yes, but it's also everything else. You know, we've talked a lot, or you've had guests from my organization before, talking about the way that income tax cuts have affected property taxes. You know, low-income people, seniors on fixed incomes, are paying higher property taxes than ever before. That's been a shift, and that hurts poor people and middle-class people, again, far more than it hurts the wealthy. So it's a comprehensive approach. Unfortunately, there's no silver bullet here, but what we need is our elected officials in Augusta to take this seriously. You say you want to fully fund the schools. You say you want to fully fund revenue sharing. How are we going to pay for it? We have to talk about taxes. We have to talk about fixing this broken system we've got so that we can finally make good on those commitments.
How do you see this agenda that you have moving through the current legislature? They've got their hands full right now. I don't think they have any more room on their plate to deal with anything between now and maybe next session.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're going to have to make room. I mean, these are problems that have to be solved. We cannot continue to punt on school funding. We can't continue to punt on funding local services. You know, if we want to get serious about a budget that works for all Mainers, we're going to have to do the work. And we're here. The Prosperity Coalition is here to make sure that that work is on the table, that it doesn't get cast aside or hidden under other things or buried to the bottom of the list. You know, we've still got quite a lot of budget process left to go. There's still many bills that are being prosecuted right now in the legislature, and there's still other bills more to come. So we do still have time to do this. We're going to have to get serious. We're going to have to get our hands dirty, but I think we can do it.
Well, yeah, as I mentioned in the beginning, there are some bills out there, and I don't know them all. One I looked at would assess a minimum tax rate on Maine's top 1% equal to the average effective state and local tax rates paid by the bottom 99%. I don't know how they accomplished that.
Those would be some interesting numbers to look at. Mario, do you know those numbers by any chance? What's the lowest 1% paying?
I don't know off the top of my head. The lowest 1% right now, I believe, is paying a total state and effective tax rate of about 8.6%. That's the lowest of any group in the state. I believe what you're talking about, George, is something that's been referred to elsewhere as the Buffett rule. Is that the bill by Representative Seth Berry you're talking about?
No, I honestly don't know who put this one in. It was I looked at LD 1647, which your group has also looked at. It also expands homestead exemption, if that's the one, from $20,000 to $25,000. And
The Buffett rule that legislation is based on is basically based on the idea that someone at the very top, someone like a Warren Buffett, shouldn't be paying a lower effective tax rate than, I think, his line is his secretary. And I think that is an idea that we support. I'd love to have a policy analyst come on to answer more specific questions about the bill if you all have them.
Let me ask you one question that so many listeners, give me 30 seconds on this if you can. You talk about Warren Buffett and his secretary. Warren Buffett has earned his level of success taking risks, getting the education. The secretary, he or she, maybe not so much, but at least Buffett has created that secretary's job. Do you risk driving jobs away from a state that so desperately needs them by repealing the LePage tax breaks?
No, we don't believe that's a risk at all. I think when you look at the comprehensive evidence across states, you see that business decisions about where to move and live is another one that critics like to point out a lot. People simply aren't making those decisions based on taxes. Those are near the bottom of the list, frankly, for reasons that people move or open up businesses. What people care about, and you see this even in businesses when they poll themselves, they care about having an educated workforce. They care about having reliable and robust infrastructure and public services. They care about having a high quality of life. These are things that are all harder to maintain when you have a tax code tilted so heavily in favor of the wealthy. You can't have a world-class workforce if you're not willing to invest in schools and job training. You can't have a high quality of life if more than half of your residents can't afford an emergency like a hospital bill or a car breaking down. So these are the things that are all connected to our tax system. I know that we talk about taxes and people think it's wonky and there's this question of just bottom line, what am I paying? What am I getting back? But this is a systemic problem we have to address. And I think businesses understand that as well. We have several, many small businesses in the Prosperity Coalition who want to see our schools funded.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.